I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, James Williams.
Oh, hey, Joe Elvin.
What are you doing on September 16th?
Well, the London Podcast Festival is on, Joe, and they've only got an invited Hey It's OK along. Don't make us sit in a pod cupboard all alone, dear listeners. Come and see me and Joe and a fabulous celebrity guest putting the world to right.
Get your tickets at kingsplace.co.uk. They're selling out fast. See you there. Hello, Glamour Gang, and welcome to our weekly podcast, Glamour Hey It's OK, the trip that we take to the pod cupboard. I'm your host, Joe Elvin, editor-in-chief of Glamour. Today, I'm joined by two special guests, one beautiful Glamour staff member and one absolutely gorgeous YouTube sensation. So this is going to be great. We're going to be talking about liking your own company. Is that OK or not OK? Is it all right to really get into the whole pomp and ceremony of British stuff? And I mean, I'm going to need some schooling on that one. So I'm looking forward to that. And to talk openly about money and salary. So who knows where this is going to go, but I'm sure it's going to be fun. Let's go. Yes, yes, yes. It's Glamour. It's Hey, It's Okay. We are in the pod cupboard. I'm your host. I'm Joe Elvin, the editor-in-chief of Glamour. Today, I'm joined by not one, but two, I believe, podcast virgins. I'm going to be as gentle as I possibly can with Sigal Mohammed, Glamour's entertainment assistant.
Hello.
Now, Sigal, is you are, oh, I should let you say hello. Say hello.
Hello.
That was so rude of me. No, I'm so used to talking over the assistants. That's what it's like at Glamour, everybody. Sigal has been working at Glamour for a long time, but is now been trapped into a full-time position at last.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And we are joined today by a proper internet sensation who, I mean, not only is she fleur de force, she's a tour de force. Hello, fleur de force.
Hello, thank you for that introduction.
Yeah,
that's,
I know,
amazing.
Why don't you know, that's a, is that where the name comes from?
You know what, I actually chose it so quickly and kind of not even thinking that it would become anything, let alone my full-time job slash name. So yeah, obviously it's a kind of play on words with Tour de Force, but I really did not put that much thought into it.
It feels like whenever you say it, you should be standing knee, legs apart, hands on hips with a cape, wind machine.
Which is actually quite embarrassing.
I am fleur de force. It's not, it's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. But yeah, sometimes I really like it and I'm like, yes, I'm really glad I chose this and didn't add like all sorts of numbers to the end of my username when I set up a YouTube account. But then sometimes I'm like, this is a bit embarrassing and kind of slightly, a bit over the top.
Does anybody, so is your, you know, former pre-YouTube name, is that still a thing?
Well, actually, I got married like halfway in between my YouTube journey, in between starting and where I am now. So I've actually changed my name. So it did work out quite well that I didn't have to even think about that.
Right.
But yeah, Fleur is my real name. So that works.
And now there's going to be a little baby divorce.
There is, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is that going to be the baby's surname?
Baby
divorce.
Definitely not.
You should.
Although I have received a couple of gifts that have baby divorce, like personalised numbers, and I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know. It's really cool, but a bit embarrassing at the same time again. But
I kind of think that if, you know, if a child is born into the world with any first name, surname, divorce,
It's got to be a good start, right?
Everything. I mean, it's like, that's like Superman being born, right? That's like, you know, the savior of the world. So no pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Got a few months left to
When are you due?
End of the year.
Right, yeah, because you're quite tiny at the moment. So, yeah. Yes.
It's growing.
I only know you're pregnant because I read about it, not because I can see it.
Otherwise, you're like, have you had a few too many burgers this last couple of weeks? No,
not at all. So how are you? How's things?
Yeah, really, really well, thank you. Yeah, the pregnancy's been kind of consuming everything for a few months.
Literally and metaphorically and
everything. And yeah, no, everything's been awesome. The last year has just been an absolute whirlwind of kind of launching products and my second book coming out a year ago, and everything's kind of been really, really busy. And now I'm kind of focusing a lot more on me and growing a baby and kind of doing life as opposed to quite so much.
Because that's the one thing I think. And what would you, in your mind, what is your title?
My title?
Yeah, like, you know, influencer, vlogger, YouTuber, and it does seem to be a bit of a rankly subject for people in the digital media sphere.
Yeah, it definitely is, and a lot of people hate influencer.
Yeah, so that's why I asked. Yeah,
yeah, a lot of people are like, I'm not an influencer. It does sound a little bit kind of up yourself to say I'm an influencer. I wouldn't call myself an influencer.
It's just become a very widespread term.
It's like a buzzword, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I would always introduce myself as a YouTuber or like a blogger or a YouTuber because I think it's straight to the point and it's, you know, not, I think influencer sometimes comes across as a bit arrogant.
Yeah, I think influencer as well is a bit more of an Instagram thing, don't you think? Because a lot of bloggers now do Instagram rather than just YouTube.
Yeah.
In that sense, so sometimes they don't want to call themselves YouTubers because they're like, well, we don't only do YouTube, we do blogs as well.
Yeah, I love things. This. I love these new, these modern demarcation lines of snobbery. I'm not a YouTuber. I'm not an influencer.
Yeah, I'm pretty chilled out with it all. I mean, you can, you know, call me whatever you want.
I want to write a sitcom where they're all sort of like at each other's throats. And
I definitely watch that. Yeah, that's the nature of it though. You do a bit of everything. And I think if you get annoyed at being called an Instagrammer when you're a YouTuber as well, like, come on, chill out. Yeah.
Now, you don't need to name names, but are there rivalries? I mean, it seems it's all such new media, and in traditional media, sort of like magazines, and that, yes, the rivalry for many, many years was absolutely ugly. Like, the competition was so fierce. And I can imagine that no matter how polite people are about, oh, no, of course, they're my dearest friends, there must be, you know, advertising accounts, lucrative things that you're competing for. Does that come into play?
You know what? It's actually been a very interesting process. Like, this is my 8th year of being an internet person. And obviously things have changed hugely in that period of time, from everyone sitting in their bedroom at university, kind of just taking a few pictures and filming stuff and not really thinking anyone's going to watch it, to obviously being a you know, big business for people. And I think it's changed a lot during that process. So it started off very much uncompetitive. No one really was competing for anything because it was more about making friends and sharing information. And then it definitely, it's not so much competitive, but it's more everyone is there for business now. It's become a lot more kind of business based, and you can tell that when you go to events. It's not so much, oh, hey, let's go to this launch and then hang out for the day and have an awesome afternoon. It's like, okay, I'm going to that launch, then I've got a meeting, then I've got this and that, and oh, I might see you next week
at another launch. Right?
So it's become work for people.
And I think a lot, what I'm noticing is, I think if, you know, whatever magazine I've worked on, be it Glamour or New Woman or the teenage magazines, if we lost a piece of business, it was because, well, you know, this magazine was better for our market, or we're aiming for. But I think with bloggers and influencers and YouTubers, it must feel a little bit more personal.
It does to a certain extent. I can't speak for everybody, but for me personally, I'm very well aware that, you know, there are a lot of people doing what I do now, and there's only a certain amount of, you know, brand deals, but there are actually quite a lot of them. Yeah. And it is a very much similar kind of situation of like, oh, that person is perfect for that brand.
Yeah.
And that's why they've gone with them. There's the occasional thing where, you know, if there's a certain launch that they choose somebody and you think, oh, like, they never talk about that brand. Like, that's such a weird choice. Like, I love that brand. I wish they'd chosen me. Yeah. Obviously, you feel like that sometimes. But there's so much to go around. Everybody is so interested in the digital space still. It's awesome to have that. And, you know, we're very, very lucky in that sense, because it's obviously still kind of maturing as an industry and a kind of form of media. I'm quite chilled about it. Like, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, it's so exciting and fascinating to watch, because it's such, new territory. And I think that there's only going to be more and more opportunities. From my point of view, it's very populated by a certain age of young woman, and I'm looking forward to that expanding. Do you know what I mean?
And you know what, that's actually been amazing for me over the past few years, is that my audience have really grown with me. There is that assumption that because you're a YouTuber, your audience is teenage girls. And for me, that's now, I think my stats for under 18 are like now 5% or something like that.
So because your audience has grown with you.
Yeah, people are always so surprised. They're like, wow, like that is really, is that many? Yeah, is that many kind of young women and, you know, like watching you as opposed to teenage girls? And that for me is really awesome, because, you know, I'm talking to my peers as opposed to talking underneath me in the age kind of bracket, which can be quite difficult because things that I'm interested in now, like babies and houses and all of that kind of stuff, is not really that relevant when you're a teenager. So it's nice.
What are your favourite parts of what you do?
So many. It used to be travel, but I'm doing a little bit less travel now. I used to love the travel, but mainly like the flexibility more than anything else, because you can wake up in the morning and decide that day, you know, what you want to do and kind of how you want to, like, you can control your content, which I think, unless you're in the position like you are, where obviously you're in control of the content for a magazine, it's so hard in any other bracket.
Believe me, I still have to be here at a certain time every day. I do envy that flexibility.
Time flexibility is really, really great. But yeah, it's just so, it's awesome as well to be in touch with your audience in an instant. And I think, again, that's something that pretty much everybody can do now, because social media is, you know, everyone is using it. You get instant feedback. That's so cool to be able to put something out there and have people respond to you so quickly. So
it's usually cool, isn't it? Instant feedback.
Bad side of it as well, but let's not talk about it.
No. So tell me about your brow products. I know you're sort of like building a burgeoning empire here with your beauty lines.
Well, there's a few things out now, yeah. So I first launched my lashes a couple of years ago with Eyelore, who are a brand I've loved and used for a long, long time. And then this year we launched a brow collection with them as well. And we've just launched a new brow defining pencil, which is like a double ended pencil. I'm all about the multi-use products. Absolutely love it.
And are you wearing it on your perfectly coiffed brows as we speak? Yeah.
I am.
Funny that. Yeah.
No, I think it's really, really important for me. Everything I put out, I genuinely use and love. Like, that's always been number one priority.
Well, there's some of us who have a face for radio, and then there's people like Fleur who really should always be on video. I can assure you now, listeners, she looks flawless. But then so do you, Scott.
So do you.
No, it's just me. Just me and the Hootenite should just live in the pod cupboard and never leave the pod cupboard. Just stay there.
You're calling it a cupboard. It's actually like a really nice big room.
Don't ruin the myth, though. Don't ruin it. Now, Fleur DeForce, have you listened to the Glamour Hey It's Okay podcast before?
Yes,
okay,
I have.
Okay, you can stay. So, so you know what we do. We sort of like, you know, have a few ideas that have come up in features meetings, and we debate them the way we would at an actual Glamour features meeting. And I cannot believe that straight off the bat, you have chosen the biggest hot potato.
The most controversial topic on the list.
Yeah, how exciting of you. I can't wait. Is it okay or not, guys, to talk openly about money and your salary? What do you think?
I am totally on the fence with this one, and I think it depends who you're talking to.
I thought she was going to tell us how much she earns, because I really want to. See, that's a very rude thing of me to say, isn't it, in polite society?
It is very rude, and I 100% agree with that. And I've been asked so many times, being a YouTuber, which is obviously a new profession, nobody really knows how much we earn, and everybody always wants to find out.
We've all got feverish imaginings about it.
Exactly. So I'm very much on the fence about this, because on the one hand, I do think it's vulgar to talk about money. I think talking about money with your friends is not cool. I think asking people how much they earn is not cool, but it's been a big part, especially in the early days of YouTube, in working out how on earth you make money from doing something new. You know, talking to your peers about, oh, this brand's approached me, and I don't know what, like, the first kind of brand deals you do before the days of management, you know, and all of that kind of having somebody there to tell you, oh, you get this many views, so you're worth this much.
And
it was really important.
Give you a bunch of pretty feathers and
exactly. So, like, it was a really important part of building my business for me. You know, is talking, having obviously trusted friends and having kind of confidential conversations with them, not public, like, oh, I got this much money for that, which is crass.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because as a society, we are embarrassed talking about money. James Williams, our deputy editor, said on the podcast the other day that you know, he has friends who will tell you everything about their sex life. But the minute you discuss money, everybody clams up.
Yeah.
And I think that while I understand that, and I understand people's awkwardness if, you know, they kind of secretly know they're out-earning their friends by an amazing amount. I do feel like it's this conspiracy of shyness, this conspiracy to, you know, sort of this conditioning that we're taught that it's a very impolite subject is why you end up with situations like we've just seen at the BBC where actually tons of really high-profile women were completely shocked at just how big the pay gap was between them and their male counterparts. So what do you think, Seagal?
I think I'm on the fence as well.
Well, Seagal works in magazines, so she's basically a millionaire. So, yeah.
I think it's changed a lot because, obviously, when I was in uni, we used to talk about it openly. Like, everyone was always talking about how poor they were and how they didn't have any money. And I think that's almost more acceptable than talking about...
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, everyone always talks about how they don't have any money.
You're like, I want to go out tonight, but I've only got 40 quid in my bank account. And I want to spend it.
You know, a phenomenon I've noticed is people with money lying about not having money.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing. Then your other friends who may not be in the same financial situation feel bad and they're like, oh, yeah, but I don't have any money either, even though they do.
Yeah,
feel like they need to say that too. So I think in that sense, that's the only time that people feel like they could speak about money openly.
When you know you're in the
boat. Yeah, exactly. When you know you're in the same boat. But then now, as soon as, like, now we've all gone off to get jobs and, like, all my friends, we all work in different places. As soon as that happened, at first we were a bit like, oh, so, like, they'd say, like, when they got a job, like, oh, this is how much, like, I've been offered for the first job. But then, like, you'd never hear. I feel like that's where it stops.
Very quickly, you know, like, becomes taboo.
Yeah, then you don't really feel comfortable. Because you don't. Yeah. I don't find, like, I would never ask someone how much they earn. I just feel like it's just an uncomfortable kind of topic.
Yeah, it is.
How
quite
would you bring it up?
One of my friends has actually just straight up asked me before. I have friends
who ask me. Yeah.
Kind of like, do I tell you? Because you're like, you're one of my best friends. I don't really mind you knowing. But, like, awkward. I'm not going to ask you either.
It also depends on what kind of friend it is.
I am really curious, though. I'm always curious.
Me too.
I can't help.
It's like, you really want to know, but you just don't want to ask.
I do have friends who I discuss it with because I think that particularly in my job, and it's not like I'm obsessed with finding out how much more money I can earn, but I feel like there's not many people who I can be really honest and confide in with about, you know, the pressures and strains of my job. So I don't know. It does tend to sometimes be part and parcel of the conversation. So I can compare, you know, how I'm doing compared to other people. Am I being valued? Should I be asking for it? You know what I mean? I think that it's kind of because really money, we need money to live. We need money to pay our rent. We need it to pay the mortgage and buy food and all that. But rightly or wrongly, we do use it as a measure of our esteem, don't we? We do use it as a measure of not the only one. And I think that, you know, if you are starting out in your career and you're low earning, of course there are also other important things, but it does become a marker of how we feel we are viewed and valued, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. And what you were saying about talking to other people in the same kind of position, it's exactly the same as what I was saying in the early days of what I do. I think it's just, you know, you can't otherwise really gauge certain things. And I think you've got to talk about it to certain people, but there's a time and a place.
Well, I do think, though, that I respect that view totally because it is an awkward conversation and money is something that can make or break friendships, but it's coming, isn't it? You know, the legislation where big companies have to declare what their earners are earning, and it's going to become much more of an open dialogue. So we kind of maybe need to
get over it.
it's coming. You know, whether you like it or not, their salary is going to only become a bigger topic of conversation.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I don't know whether it's necessarily a little bit of a kind of British, like, politeness, you know what I mean? There's one thing as well I've noticed over the years is in the States, they're very much more open to talking about money and celebrating success. Whereas in the UK, I think it's a little bit more of a, you never talk about that, you know, if you're doing well, keep it on the down low kind of thing. And I think it is a bit of a British kind of...
Yeah, and I think ultimately it might be accidentally a bit of self-oppression. I think that, you know, the more open we are about it, the less places there are to hide if you are being lowballed by your company.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Speaking of all things terribly uprightly British, Fleur de Force, is it okay to genuinely love a bit of good old British pomp and ceremony?
I think it's fine to love it. I'm not necessarily saying that I'm like the most kind of there with all of like I'm like
now,
watching the change.
Can we clarify what it is first for me? Because I've never heard of this term.
And I'm not British born. I think I've got a vague idea of what we mean. It's tripping of the colour, it's a royal wedding, or is it more than that?
All of those things, 100%. But then I think it's just a general love for, you know, the tradition that we have, all the traditions that we have in this country that are very, very unique.
Are they all royal? Are we talking royal stuff only?
I'm trying to think now. I think a lot of it is royal.
Sort of like, I can see some Morris dances in the periphery of my mind. Has that got anything to do with it?
I mean, I don't particularly love Morris dances.
Help
but
an immigrant out.
Yeah. I think they would count. You know what?
Oh, well, then I'm totally, it's a hard pass. Yeah.
I heard that it's basically when I asked today Natasha, our digital director, she was like, in a nutshell, it's just posh people being so extra. So that was to translate into my understanding. So then I was like,
Now I get it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
100%. But then there also is quite a nice thing about it, where it brings everybody together. I don't know if you remember like the royal wedding and everyone's having street parties.
I did have a street party on my road actually.
Exactly. And really we fun. All get an extra day off work. I mean, everyone's got to love
I am, and tell me if you think this is okay or not. It's probably not. I'm the textbook hypocrite on all this stuff because I'm like the first one, you know, when Kate and William getting married, like, oh God, everyone's just going to be going on about that for months. And, you know, I'm going to go to my mother-in-law's and I'm going to have to sit in front of the television for 11-5 hours and watch, you know, 65 different angles of the dress. And then the second it's on, I'm the one like tweeting for Britain and like crying with being moved by it all. Honestly, I'm the worst. And I know I'm going to do it every time. And I still have this journey of eye roll to eye crying. You know,
but I do think that's okay.
To answer the question. I just got to be me, you know.
You know what I think is really nice is that it is so unique to the UK. I mean, there's so many. I think when things are changing and, you know, the modern day age when we're like, we don't need any of these things. We really don't. We don't need to like go and watch the army do certain like ceremonial things. But it's pretty unique to where we are. And I think it is quite cool to know about it and to be interested in it and think, oh, that's cool. I'm not an obsessive. I'm not going to go and like buy all the mugs of
you haven't got a wedding. You haven't got a scrapbook of the wedding.
I do not. You know what I did have though? I had a Kate and Will's engagement Oyster card. It wasn't on purpose, but I got it through the machine. You know, like they launched them and I bought a new Oyster card. It came out. I was like, maybe this is a collectible. I'm going to pocket it and buy a normal one.
See, now that I don't know. An Oyster card's one thing, I guess. But it's that enforced assumption that everybody's going to be into this. That's the point that really winds me up about it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, can I just get on with my day? I got nothing. Kate and William seem really lovely couple, like perfect sort of like modernity for the royal family. I don't want to be told how much to care about it.
I agree with that. I think sometimes it does get a bit much, and the media coverage of it towards the end, especially with the royal wedding, I think the royal babies as well, I find a little bit weird, because there's so much interest. You know, when you're like, oh my god, leave them alone. They've just been born. You've got their whole life to take photos of them, because they're going to be royal.
What I think
forever.
Is really bizarre is, like, you know, when she was giving birth and outside the toilet. I mean, sorry.
Pardon? Outside the toilet?
I think you have to get beheaded now. I think you've got to go to the tower for treason now. I'm sorry.
I meant hospital.
I'm so sorry, Your Majesty.
secret super fan here. She pretended she didn't know what pomp and ceremony was.
Exactly. I think it is against the law to incite any of the royal family's names and the toilet name. In the same sentence. Yeah.
God,
where were you going with that? When she was outside the hospital?
Yeah, I just found it so... That's one thing I find really bizarre, like, all the people who stand outside waiting to see the baby.
Who does that?
Like, I don't know, I just wouldn't... I mean, I'd want to see it once it's, you know, I'd want to see all the pictures and stuff, but I wouldn't want to go outside and wait outside the hospital.
That's the element I find weird.
I don't know.
As well.
The thing is, though, I think you're right, though, that, look, I don't have any particular problem with it. It's not something that really floats my boat, all the pomp and ceremony, but my parents in Australia, they love it. I mean, what is that all about? They love it. My father, I mean, it's in the diary, and he's like a really sort of like solid salt of the earth, working class Aussie guy. And he gets really excited about the royal tattoo and things like, and he, you know, that's it. He will take time off to sit and watch that. He just thinks that's wonderful. I think he likes military pomp and ceremony. I think he likes the spectacle of it and the regimen and the discipline and all of those things. And I can appreciate the beauty in that. So I get it, I guess. Yeah.
But maybe it's because he's not overexposed to it like you are, that it makes you like, oh, like another one, do I really have to be interested?
And hey, it's good for tourism, and poor old Brexit Britain needs the money, right?
So yeah, exactly.
That's true.
Get out there, Kate and Wills, in your finery. Do a few laps in the pumpkin carriage and let's make some money. I think I've answered my own question after today, just hearing the sound of my own voice. Is it okay, Seagal, Mohammed, Fleur de Force, is it okay to not like your own company?
I hope so, because I hate my own company.
Really?
I hate being alone.
You seem all right.
Yeah.
I can hang out with you.
I just hate being on my own. I get really, like, down about everything.
Oh, my God, you wait till you have a baby.
All I want to be is on my own.
Fucking excited to have. Even... 30 minutes on the loo on your own. You'll be super excited about that. That'll be like a holiday.
Probably.
I mean, it depends, because I like hanging out on my own. I feel like I need sometimes to just, I don't know, like go shopping on my own or watch TV on my own.
Let me ask. I'm one of four siblings. What about you, Flo?
One of three.
Seagal?
One of three.
See, so that's the thing. I'd say that Seagal and I, coming from those big, noisy families, particularly a lot of boys in my house, I used to... You know, it was a long time. I think I was probably about 22 before I got some actual ever alone time. So that's probably why I really treasure it.
Yeah, and I grew up, when I was younger, I always used to share a room. Like I never had my own room. So I'd never had that like alone time as such. There was always, always, always people around growing up, even when I was a teenager.
What do you do when you're alone?
The first time. I don't know. I just watch Netflix, read a book. Sometimes I like just going like out for walks. It's a bit weird, but
so if I'm on a walk with my dogs, I'm always like ringing my mum, ringing like everyone that I know. I'm like, I need to speak to someone when I'm driving. I hate driving.
Really?
Anywhere longer than 40 minutes, I'm like, oh my god, where's the Bluetooth? I need to talk to someone.
Well, you are a proper modern media mogul,
but
aren't you?
You know what I think it comes down to is the whole introvert extrovert thing, which I don't know how much you both know about this, but if anyone doesn't know, it's not actually you're introverted means you're shy. It's actually where you get your energy from. And I very much get my energy from being around other people. So if I'm alone, I will be like asleep. Or you know what I mean? I find it really difficult to kind of be motivated and kind of achieve what I want to achieve out of the day if I'm on my own. And also I think that all very much leads back to the fact that I work from home quite a lot. Mm. And what I do, everyone thinks being a YouTuber is really quite sociable and you're like, you know, you're talking to loads of people. No, you're talking to a camera on in your room.
A lot of isolation.
There is a lot of isolation. And I think for me, over the past 8 years, it's become very much like, I hate being on my own. I'll do the work and then I want to see people.
Because I only realized recently that I have introverted tendencies. And, you know, that does surprise people because I'm not shy. Quite loud, like sound of my own voice, or all of those things. But my job demands a lot of interaction and a lot of making decisions and talking to people. And I do reach a point, and I hate it. Sometimes it happens at things like parties where suddenly it's like the battery is drained.
Yeah.
And I just need, I'm done. And I'm not rude about it, but I can just feel absolutely overwrought with exhaustion at chatting and being up. And I have been known, not very often, I have been known to just enjoy. My husband will come and say, what the hell have you been doing? And I've literally just been sitting in a chair staring into space because that's what I needed at that time. Yeah. It's almost like I'm
switched
like a robot and just need, let's just plug her in, let her recharge for a few hours. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that because, I mean, my friends always say that I'm an extrovert because I like, I don't know, like quite loud, you know, I like talking a lot too. But then sometimes, I wouldn't call myself shy, but in certain situations, I wouldn't be the first to, like, I don't know, be out there and, like, shout and scream about something. And in other, like you, sometimes when you do, although I do love socialising and speaking to people, there are other times where I just want to spend time on my own. And I don't know if that's introvert.
So do you panic if you're on your own floor?
I don't panic because if I did, I'd have a serious problem because I'm on my own quite a lot. but I don't enjoy it. I find myself trying to make other plans if I'm on my own, and I really have to force myself. If I'm on my own and I have to do some work, I'll often like go to a coffee shop and do it. So when I was writing my books, I'd sit down at the kitchen table and be like, can't do it. I hate it. I'll do everything else. I'm going to stroke the dog. I'm going to make some food. I'm going to like go and wash some clothes. Like, everything to avoid just sitting there on my own with my own mind. If I go and sit in a coffee shop and there's other people around, smash out 7 hours or whatever, they hate me. A few coffees later, they're like,
Are you ever leaving?
Yes, yeah, no,
busy
see, I don't.
Place.
I have to put headphones in and listen to music, but as long as there's people around, I very much am like, it feeds me.
I think what we're learning here is that it's good to work out what's right for you.
100%.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any shame in not liking your own company, but, you know, it sounds like when you don't like your own company, are you that bad a person?
You seem all right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm too bad.
I think there's definitely a point, though. I don't know. I'm all over the shop, introvert, extrovert. There's definitely a point if I've had a couple of days at home, like, you know, maybe a couple of days off work because I needed to do stuff. And there's definitely a point where, yes, you've got to get out of the house, girl. Yeah. You know, now I am boring myself. Now I want people in my face again.
Yeah.
So I think I'm into the extremes. I love being alone, but then I crave.
That's
I mean. Know.
I don't think I could. I couldn't live by myself ever.
No, but I think I could.
So in that sense, I don't know. Maybe I don't like my company that much because I couldn't be around it 24/7.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it does really stem from the fact that my house has always been full of people, and I've never had alone time ever growing up, or even like now. Actually, I still live at home, so.
So it's like a luxury.
So yeah, it is a bit of a luxury.
Well, if you don't like your own company and you don't like being alone, then please do get in touch because we are looking for topics to discuss on Glamour Hey It's Okay. And if you email me your ideas at editor@glamourmagazine.co.uk, we will read out your name and say hi so you won't feel alone. And you may even get a little present from me for contributing to the podcast. Just wanted to say that was a good segue, right?
Yeah,
I'm pleased with that. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Sagal Muhammad.
Thanks for
having
me,
breaking your podcast virginity with me today. And thank you, Fleur de Force. It's been an absolute joy.
Thanks for having me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. and they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.